This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Dave Mack. Sentencing for the father who pled guilty to running over and killing his 8-month-old infant son is delayed for the second time in a month Friday. A roadside argument in Jacksonville turns tragic when 8-month-old Pablo Golden is fatally run over, leaving investigators to piece together what actually happened from a pacifier, blood on the roadway, and emotional witness statements. Police quickly detain the child's father, Justin Golden, who claims he had no idea he struck his son. However, detectives later charge Golden with aggravated manslaughter after the baby dies from his injuries. Police say the 21-year-old father, Golden, gets into an argument over baby wipes and money with his son's mom, which leads to the incident. On the morning of January 25, 2025, police say Golden is driving near the intersection of McDuff and Lennox Avenues when he gets into an argument with the mother of his son, who is a passenger, along with 8-month-old Pablo, who is also in the vehicle. Police report the car comes to a stop at the intersection. Golden opens the car door and places the infant on the ground. As Golden drives away, the vehicle runs over baby Pablo. A witness who is driving directly behind Golden at the time of the incident follows Golden while on the phone with 911, according to the reports. During a police interview, Golden states he got into a verbal fight with Pablo's mom, who said she wanted to get out of the vehicle. Golden allegedly says to police that he did not want to be responsible for the child nor accused of anything with the child. In a letter, Golden writes to the judge asking for leniency. Golden calls the incident an accident. Quote, "I've never been in trouble a day in my life. Prison is for harder criminals who knows that their intent is to commit a crime. If I'm guilty of anything, ma'am, I'd be guilty of an accident that was caused by a mistake."
News out of Michigan, former Wolverines head football coach Sharon Moore is in custody following his termination from the University of Michigan earlier Wednesday. According to police, Moore has been turned over to the Pittsfield Township authorities for investigation into potential charges related to an alleged assault. Officials say the incident does not appear to be random and there is no ongoing threat to the community. The Pittsfield Township Police Department confirmed to Fox 2 that officers responded to the scene on December 10th and that Moore was currently being held at the Washtenaw County Jail pending review by the county prosecutor. The investigation remains active and no further details have been released at this time. Earlier in the day, University of Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel announced that Moore was fired with cause after an internal investigation found credible evidence he engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Manuel emphasized that the conduct violated university policy and that Michigan maintains zero tolerance for such behavior. Moore, 39, joined Michigan's coaching staff in 2018 and served as acting head coach during Jim Harbaugh's suspension in 2023. He also played a key role in Michigan's 2024 college football playoff national championship victory over Washington. With Moore out, associate head coach Biff Poggi will step in as interim head coach immediately. The Wolverines are still scheduled to face the Texas Longhorns in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl on December 31st.
A Georgia mother's murder case now moves to a grand jury after investigators revealed she told police the hours before her daughter's death felt, quote, like a dream. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports a Fulton County magistrate judge ruled there was enough evidence for the case against Channon Grimes to proceed. She faces charges in the November death of her 11-year-old daughter, Genesis Grimes. According to testimony cited by the AJC, Sandy Springs Police Detective Isaiah Tomlin told the court that Grimes said she, quote, never intended to kill her daughter. He said she described the period before police arrived as, quote, being like a dream. Investigators said Genesis was stabbed at least four times, had defensive wounds, and appeared to have been cleaned before being positioned in a living room recliner with a blanket and a Bible devotional. Police were called to the Laurel Grove condominiums after Grimes sent alarming messages to her sister. The sister called 911 and requested a welfare check. Officers arrived within minutes and found Grimes injured on a couch. Genesis was found dead nearby. Sandy Springs Police Sergeant Leon Milholland told our TV news partners at Fox 5 Atlanta that the initial response unfolded quickly.
The officers that responded on scene, they secured the scene, notified detectives. Detectives came out, took over the investigation.
Milholland says the charges were based on what police say they found inside the home.
Malice murder, felony murder, cruelty to children in the first degree, possession of a knife during the commission of a crime, and also tampering with evidence.
Neighbors telling Fox 5 they were stunned by what happened. Mona D'Agostino, who lives upstairs from the family, says the case forced her to reflect on what she might have missed.
Literally say to yourself, how could I not have known what in the world was going on?
Another neighbor who did not want to give her name said the case was a reminder to look closer at the people around you.
Just because they might have a smile on their face doesn't mean it's all okay. You don't know what's going on.
Police say they have been in contact with Genesis's school and helped coordinate counseling support for students and staff. Grimes remains in the Fulton County Jail as prosecutors prepare to present the case to a grand jury.
The late-night Arby's delivery promised simple comfort. Instead, it delivered a moment of stomach-turning terror. Mark Carden watched in sheer horror as his wife Mandy began to choke, gasp, and violently vomit minutes after taking a single bite of her dinner, the victim of a vile and deliberate act of alleged food tampering. Carden, 42, immediately examined the delivery bag and found it had been visibly contaminated with a slick burning residue. The panic turned to explosive fury when he reviewed his doorbell camera footage. The surveillance from their Evansville, Indiana home captured the entire criminal act. The purple-haired delivery driver, after taking the mandatory proof of delivery photo, allegedly produced an object from her right hand and viciously sprayed a liquid directly onto the sealed Arby's order before casually just walking away. The substance is strongly suspected to be pepper spray, an attack that left Mandy seriously ill. However, the troubled husband stressed the deadly potential of the calculated assault. He spoke to WFIE 14 News.
Now, in this day and age, it could have been anything. It could have been rat poison. It could have been fentanyl. You know, I mean, my wife could have been dead.
The sheer malice of the incident shocked the family, who had even left a tip for the assailant. Carden shared the photos and videos of the driver to Facebook, asking for help in identifying the driver. He also tried to contact her, but found she already blocked him on the app. Carden instantly reported the crime to DoorDash, which promptly issued a refund and banned the driver. They also released a statement saying, quote, "Our team is standing by to support law enforcement with any investigation," end quote. But the outraged customer is pressing the Vanderburgh County Sheriff's Office for maximum criminal prosecution. The food runner, who has not been publicly identified or formally charged yet, faces serious felony charges of consumer product tampering, escalating to a level 5 felony if bodily harm is confirmed. The motive for the tampering is not known. The investigation continues. More crime and justice news after this.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.